how to serve him a little today and a whole lot more tomorrow. Now, if you are 50 and above, raise your hands. Okay. If you're 50 and above, raise your hands. Keep them up. I need you to help me here for a second. Now, the Bible says, one generation shall declare to the next generation the glory of the Lord. So I need, everybody's got your hands up that's over 50. I need you to help me sing this song for the next generation. Will you do that for me? I don't know if you'll catch on. And, oh, I want to see him. I want to look upon his face. There to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all pass, home at last, ever to rejoice, singing, oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all pass, home at last, ever to rejoice. When, oh my Lord, dark may be the night, but I'll cling more close to him. He will give me light. Satan's snares may vex my soul, turn my thoughts aside, but my Lord goes ahead, leads whatever betides, singing, oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all pass, home at last, ever to rejoice. There is power, power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah! Praise God! Amen. There's wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. Praise God. Hallelujah. The blood has not lost its power. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adores him. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Amen. Now the Bible tells us, it encourages us to sing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. Isaiah says that God has given you a garment of praise for the spirits of heaviness, that you might be called the trees of righteousness, the planet of the Lord, that he might be glorified. So when you're going through things in your life, all you got to do is sing a song. Go back and get an old song and begin to praise God. It'll lift the weights up off of you. It'll help you get through the day. Praise God. That's the God we serve. He put everything in place for us. Amen. So no Christian should ever be discouraged. You remember that old song that says, why should I feel discouraged? And why should the shadows come
And why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home when Jesus is my portion? A constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches over me. Oh, I sing. You know I sing. For his eyes. And I know he watches me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Well, yes, Jesus loves me. Oh, yes, Jesus loves me. Well, yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. See, that's one of those songs that Paul reminds us when he said the gospel did not just come in word only, but it came with much assurance. And the Bible lets us know that Jesus loves us. And so, if no one else loves me, I don't have to worry about it. Because me and Jesus makes a majority in any situation. And he loves me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. That's the God we serve. Oh, if we would just get a hold of it. Think about it. All those great songs we sung early was to usher in and magnify God. And I heard the pastor says, 30 minutes? No. We need to look into heaven. I pray and I says, God, just let me get a glimpse of what is going on in heaven because I want to do it in the earth. And my Bible tells me that the angels are before the Lord basically 24/7 saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. And I want to praise him all day long. I want to get in practice down here for what I'm going to do up there. Amen. Man, there's nothing like worshiping God but saints of God that love the Lord. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor and Sister Schumacher, and thank you, church, amen, for letting us be with you and your commitment to God. If you only knew your sacrifice and what you're doing for the kingdom of God. I know when we were missionaries, you guys supported us. And every time someone was baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You were a part of it. This church is reaching the whole world with the gospel. I can remember my wife and I, the first time we went into the nation of Mongolia and baptized people in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Apostolic Faith Church went with us and accomplishing that mission. Don't ever quit. Don't ever quit. Because when we get on the other side, you're going to meet people that you didn't know were your brothers and sisters. And you'll be able to sing and rejoice and have a good time. Amen. Praise God. Thank you again so, so very much. I have been blessed. Every time I come here, I'm so blessed. Your pastor and his wife, with the hospitality and love that they show to not only us, but to everyone. And that's good. You've got great leaders. You've got great examples before you. I just ask you to keep your eyes on them, amen, and on Jesus, amen, and let them lead you. As I told you this morning, God says, I will give you pastors after my own heart. And he has done that for you here. And I'm not just saying that because they are my friends. But I want you to know God has given you some of the very best. And Pastor did mention about some of my books that are out there. If you want to learn about leadership, you want to grab this one or one of the other leadership. You want some encouragement or know someone need encouragement, they can have my lovely face for. And this is If God Be For Us, as Brother John Grant says, everybody else might as well be. If God be for us, who can be against us? This one is doctrinal according to the pattern. God's got a pattern. And this one is a yearly devotional. Amen, that every day of the month and the year, you can have morning manna with me. How's that? Amen. And those are out there, amen, with you. To the book of Matthew this afternoon, chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, starting with verse 1, and I'll read down through verse 16. Matthew 20. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and said unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? And they said unto him, because no man have hired us. He said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall you receive. So when it was evening, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these last have wrought or worked but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us which have bore the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do with what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. And I want to minister to you from this thought for a few moments. The qualifications to be chosen. The qualifications to be chosen. Pray with me again. Savior, we call upon you again tonight, God, because there is none like you. Lord, you indeed are the glory and the lifter up of our heads, and you know all things before we asked of thee. But Father, your word tells me that they that dwell in the secret place of the Most High would abide under the shadows of the Almighty. And that I will say of the Lord that you are my refuge and my fortress and my God in whom I shall trust and will trust. You will cover me with your feathers, God, and under your wings I shall trust. Your truth shall be my shield and my buckler. God, your word tells me that you will give your angels charge over me to keep me in all thy ways. Lord, we need you right now, Lord. I'm asking you, God, to give me wisdom of thy word. Asking you, God, again to give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive thy word that we may grow thereby. God, you are good to us and your mercy and do it forever and ever. And I thank you again this day, sweet Holy Spirit. Let us not leave the way that we came, but let us leave changed and renewed and refreshed. And we will bless you forevermore. In Jesus' name. And you may be seated. Amen. The qualification to be chosen. When I joined the Army back in 1969, the Army's theme at the time, it says, if you're good enough to get in, you'll serve your country well. If you're good enough to get in, you will travel far and wide. Oh, the future can be yours in the new Action Army. If you think you're good enough to get on the team, then a brighter future can be yours. And as I heard that, I jumped up out of my chair and I ran and I joined the Army. And many years later, it was proved to be true. But tonight, I want to look at this passage of Scripture from a little different twist and a little bit of turn, if I could. And because sometimes we see that it says that the first shall be last and the last shall be first. The Apostle Paul lets us know that the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, but the second man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. And he said, how be it that that which was first was not last, and that which was last was not first. And he says, if we have bore the image of the earthly, we must also bear the image of the heavenly. And so we need to get in the mindset that we need to transform our lives, that we will become like Christ Jesus. Amen. Adam and Eve, as you begin to look in the garden, we find that they was missing a key ingredient to themselves. And that ingredient that they was missing was a lack of commitment to obey. They seemed to have a lack of commitment to obey what God had said and told them to do. We begin to look at the word of God in Matthew 21, and Jesus says, what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and says, son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not, but afterwards he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether of the twain did the will of his father? They said unto him, the first. Jesus said unto them, verily I say to you that the publicans and harlots goes into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed them not. But the publicans and harlot believed him, and ye, when ye have seen it, repented not afterwards, that you might believe him. As we begin to look at the passage of Scripture, Jesus is showing us that there's going to be some at the end that's going to go in first. Amen. We need to begin to look at the Scripture as well. John says, but as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name, which was born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. But what are the qualifications to be chosen? It is the qualification of commitment. If you do not have commitment, you will never be chosen by God. God is looking for men and women is committed to serve and to do what he is asking of every one of us to do. We must be committed to the word of God. Jesus says, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then will I profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever hear these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall. So there must be a commitment to the word of God. You see, if we are not committed to the word of God, we will have no direction for our lives. You will walk in darkness and not in the light, because Psalms 119:105 let us know, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and it is a light unto my pathway. Sin will remain in your life if you're not committed to the word of God. Psalms 119 verse 9 says, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed, therefore, according to thy word. Jesus says in John 15:3, now you're cleansed by the word which I have spoken unto you. It is the word of God that begins to cleanse us, to make us and bring us to what God wants us to become. But we have to be committed to the word of God if we're going to see change take place in our lives. Oftentimes there will be depression in your life if you're not committed to the word of God. Disobedience will set in if you're not committed to the word of God. You will have no faith if you're not committed to the word of God, because faith comes by hearing, and it comes by hearing the word of God. You can't serve in a leadership capacity if you're not committed to the things in the word of God. Praise God. You have to be committed to the things of God. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, by now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the world was framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen was not made by the things which doth appear. And it says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Amen. By which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testified of his gift that he was right. Amen. So Abel began to commit himself to the things of God.
and we must commit ourselves to the things of God. The Bible lets us know that Enoch walked with God, and he was translated that he did not see death, for God had translated him. But before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Amen. He committed himself. The Bible, when I read the scriptures, Enoch would have been 60 years when God called him, and he walked with God 300 years. He was committed to the things of God. There was no time limit to him, how he was going to serve God, how he was going to follow through with God. The Bible also lets us know without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It goes on to let us know that by faith, Noah, been warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Amen. And by that same faith, Noah, amen, obtained witness and became heirs of righteousness. If the church is going to do anything, we have got to catch up the faith of Noah. God says, I'm going to destroy the earth one day, and we have got to commit ourselves to begin to prepare ourselves for the saving and the coming of the Lord. It takes commitment. Noah had to commit himself to build that ark to save his family. It required commitment to get out there every day, probably being teased by people because it hadn't rained, never rained. And now he's building an ark and he's preaching, saying God is going to destroy the earth. You see, if you're going to preach that God is coming again, you've got to be committed to it yourself. You've got to be steadfast and unmovable in the things of God. Amen. People are looking for men and women that are true and committed to the things of God. They're not looking for wishy-washy people. If you say you've got truth, you have to live truth. You have to be committed to truth. You've got to be sold out to the truth. Noah was committed. And by all accounts, he was 100 years in building the ark. And the Bible lets us know that 8 souls were saved by water. Baptism doth now also save us. Not the removing of the filth of the flesh, but is an answer of a good conscience towards God. You see, Noah realized when God says something, he committed himself to it. And you and I must get that same faith in our life, that when our pastors preach to us and they tell us what God says, we've got to commit ourselves to those things because they're trying to prepare us for the coming of the Lord. Jesus says, no man knows the minute of the hour when the Son of Man shall return. I don't want to get caught short. Amen. I want to be ready. When they tell me to get ready for the coming of the Lord, I'm committing myself to the things of God. Amen. Just like Noah, I'm going to be ready. I'm not going to miss the ship. I'm going to commit myself to the things of God because that's what's going to certify me as being qualified if I did what God asked of me to do. The Bible says Abraham, when God called him, left home. He went out not knowing where he was going, and he journeyed in a strange land, amen, as a strange pilgrim in a strange land, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of the same promise. Why? Because he looked for a city which had foundation, whose builder and maker was God. God says, Abraham, you leave home and I will bless you. He had to commit himself to go. And as a result, God blessed him. And aren't you glad that God blessed him? Because the Bible says, for as many as you have been baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female, for you're all one. And if you be one in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So every promise God gave to Abraham, because he was committed to God, if you are committed to the things of God, you will get the promises and the blessings of God. Abraham was committed. He was sold out to the things of God. And when God told him to offer Isaac, his only begotten son, the Bible says that Abraham offered him up. And he that had received the promised child, amen, offered up his only begotten son, being fully persuaded that God was able to raise him from the dead, because he had received them in a figure. You see, when you're committed to the things of God, and when God asks you to do something, you move. You will begin to move without doubt, without fear. You will begin to walk by faith and not by sight, because that's what commitment does. Amen. Commitment just touched that faith together stronger. Amen. And as a result, as you go forth and you begin to do what God is asking you, you will realize that God is with you every step of the way, because he chose you out of all the people in the world. Commitment. The Bible says that Moses chose to suffer affliction with the children of God than to endure the pleasures of sin for a season, because he had recompense, amen, to the recompense of reward, respect to the recompense of the reward. In other words, Moses saw that what God was offering was more and better than all the treasures in Egypt. And so Moses says, I just think I'll commit myself right over here to the things of God and not the things of this world. This world is going to pass away. So don't stick your tent stakes down here. You're going to a better place. But you have to commit yourself to do it. Praise God. The qualifications to be chosen is you got to be committed. Amen. The children of Israel, talk about a nation that had all the promises that one could ever imagine. But because they murmured and complained so much in the wilderness, when they got to the promised land, they got right to the door of the promised land. And because 10 of the spies brought back an evil report, amen, the children began to murmur and they lost their faith and they was no longer committed to the promise. Amen. Are you committed to the promise? Amen. If you're committed to the promises of God, you've got to be committed all the way to the finish line. They got right to the finish line and quit. They got right to the finish line and quit. It has been stated that most people quit at the finish line. No commitment. Giants in the land. Let me tell you, there's always going to be giants keep on coming. If you realize David slew Goliath, but when you read the passages of scripture, that was not only the giant, that one giant was in the land. There was other giants, and they just kept coming and coming and coming. I come to tell you tonight, there's going to be giant problems. There's going to be giant situations. There's going to be giant circumstances that's going to keep coming your way. But as you keep committing yourself to the things of God, you will realize that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you are more than a conqueror through him that loved you. Paul says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. Paul was committed to the things of God. He was sold out to the things of God. He says, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, saves one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I've been shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep, and journeying often, in pairs of danger, in pairs upon my own brethren, in pairs in the water, in pairs in the sea. And Paul was in so much danger that he was still committed to the things of God. And Paul
Paul wrote to the church. He says, but none of those things moved me. Neither did I count my life dear to me that I might finish my course in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the grace of the gospel of God. He was committed to the things of God. Nothing moved him. Beaten, still kept pressing on. Persecuted, still kept pressing on. Because he was committed. Nothing shall stop me from this boasting, he says, about Jesus Christ. And that's the attitude. See, if you're going to be chosen, you've got to commit yourself that nothing is going to stop you from being in the house of God when service is going. Nothing shall stop you from lifting your hands in the sanctuary and praising God. Nothing shall stop you when God says move, you move. If God move upon you and says run around this building, nothing should stop you as long as you are in order. Praise God. And God is not the author of confusion. Paul was committed to the things of God. Amen. And that's the attitude we've got to have. Even though the 10 spies came back with an evil report, Caleb and Joshua had another spirit about them. And I believe when God said that Caleb had another spirit and that Caleb and Joshua would go into the promised land, I believe that other spirit that they had was the spirit of commitment. They was committed to do what God had asked them to do. When you read this scripture, every time God says, bring Joshua, Joshua was there. Caleb, they was doing what God was asking them to do. When you're committed to the things of God and the man of God, your pastor, asks you to do something, you'll do it every time because you know he has your best interest at heart. They was committed. They was committed to the word of God. They was committed to the man of God. They was committed to the leadership over them. And they obtained a promise. Two men. Out of what some says was over 2 million people that came out of Egypt. Two. From the original crew. Went in. Because they were committed to the things of God. Oh, I want to see him. I want to look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all pass, home at last, ever to rejoice. But I got to be committed to be there. I've got to be committed to this thing if I'm going to see it. Amen. Jesus says it's not freely given, but for them, amen, to whom the Father chooses. And if the Father's going to choose you, you're going to have to be committed to go all the way to the finish line and to be able to hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servants. Amen. We've got to press on towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We've got to get the attitude of Job. Whenever you lose everything, you still worship God. When your wife tried to let you go, tell you to go, let go of your integrity, you still got to keep worshiping God. When your friends accuse you of doing wrong, you have still got to hold to the things of God. Job says, my foot have held his step. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lip. I have esteemed this word of his mouth more than my necessary food. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But I will maintain my ways before him. He alone is my salvation. For a hypocrite shall not stand before him. He says, I know my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand upon the earth in the latter days. And after the skin worms has eaten this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. I shall see him for myself and not another. Job says he knows the way that I take. And when I am tried, I shall come forth like gold. I want you to know when you commit yourself to God, he knows the way you're taking. He knows what you're going through. You can have your back against the wall, but God will come through if you're committed to serve him with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Hold on. I'll be his own time, God. to be chosen. You've got to be committed to the things of God. Hold on. Moses chose. The Bible says when he became of age, he chose to suffer with the children of God than to endure the pleasures of sin for a season. Amen. He endured as seeing him that was invisible. Whew. What a testimony. You ever read Hebrews 11? It gets going through there. And it gets to talk about Rahab. Amen. She perished not. Because she did not believe, she held on to the things of God. And what happened? She was brought into the promise. When you read the Bible, you see that Rahab is in the lineage line of Jesus Christ. All she said when the spies came is, "We heard. We heard what your God did for you." Really, you know what she said to them? "Where you guys been?" That's what she said. She said, "From the day one that you came out of Egypt, we heard what your God did for you. And we all was fearful." That's way down the road. And she made up in her mind, "If I get an opportunity, I'm joining with those guys." Amen. And that's what you've got to do. If you're here tonight, join the group that's going to heaven. Commit yourself to the things of God. Amen. And allow him to carry you through the other side of the flood and on into the promised land. Amen. It's got to be the commitment into your life that's going to get you to the other side. You see, Ruth, amen, when she had made a vow that she would be married to Naomi and her husband's son, even though their husband died and her father-in-law died, and when Naomi says, "Go back to your people," amen, she says, "Your sister is going back to her gods, and I don't have any more sons, so you might as well go as well." She says, "Don't entreat me to leave you." She says, "Where you live or lodge, that's where I'm going to live and lodge. Your people is going to be my people, and your God is going to be my God." And as a result, God began to make a way for her. And the Bible lets us know that when Ruth married Boaz and they had a son and they called him Obed, which is the father of Jesse, which is the father of our Lord and Savior David, which is the father of our Lord and Savior according to the flesh, Jesus Christ. Amen. Because she was committed, she was able to get inside of the lineage line of the things and the promises of God. When you get involved in the things of God and you commit yourself to the things of God, the promises of God begin to flow into your life. The promises of God are yea and amen. God cannot lie. Paul says this is a faithful saying. If we be dead with him, we'll live with him. If we suffer with him, we'll reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us, because he cannot deny himself. God has to stay faithful to what he says. And if God says, "You commit yourself to me and I will bless you and take care of you," he has to bless you and he has to take care of you if you commit yourself to him. Commitment to the things of God. The woman with the issue of blood, even though she has spent everything that she had, the girl has commitment. She's committed to find an answer. And finally, someone tells her about Jesus. And she says within herself, "If I can but touch the hem of his garment, I know I will be made whole." She didn't say, "I'm not just going to be healed." She says, "I'm going to be made whole." And Jesus presented himself to her one day, and in the crowd, he came through. And as a result, she pressed her way through the crowd. Amen. Do you know what it means to press your way through the crowd? It means you don't care about anybody else. You are committed to get from God what you want. You will push people out of the way to get to the front of the line to get what you need from God. That's what it means to press through. You got to push sometime. You got to push away the doubt. You got to push away the fear. You got to push away the uncertainty. You got to push away the negativism that comes into your life if you want to get what God has for you. You've got to commit yourself to say, I'm not leaving until I get what I came for. That Syrophoenician woman, she went to Jesus and she says, Lord, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And Jesus says, it is not meet for me to take the children's bread and to cast it to devils. She said, truth, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. She went with commitment in her heart to get what she needed from God. And Jesus looked at her and says, woman, great is your faith. Amen. Your daughter is whole. She went with commitment and she got what she needed. Even being called a dog, she was still willing to press through to get what she needed from God. What about you tonight? The qualifications to be chosen is commitment. Are you going to commit yourself to the things of God to go all the way? The Bible says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. Now dwelling at Jerusalem was Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noise abroad, the multitude came together and was confounded, and they heard every man speaking their own language. And they was amazed and marveled, saying one to another, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how we hear every man in our own tongue where we was born. Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phygia, Pamphylia, in Egypt and parts of Libya about Cyrene, strangers of Rome, Jews, proselytes, Greeks and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our own tongue the wonderful works of God. And they was amazed and doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? The others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, said of them, amen, you men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be it known unto you, and hearken unto my words, for these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and my handmaidens will I pour out of that day of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I show wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapors of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord shall come. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth approved of God with miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you all. You yourselves also know him, having been delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God. You have with wicked hands crucified and slain, whom God has raised up, having loosened the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. For David, speaking concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. He's at my right hand, that I shall not be moved. Therefore was my heart glad. Moreover shall my tongue find rest and hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will I suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt make known to me the ways of life. Thou wilt make full my joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn to an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins loins according to the flesh. He would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He seeing this spake of the resurrection that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. This same Jesus whom you and I are all witnesses of, therefore being by the right hand of God exalted and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you both now see and hear. For David is not ascended into heaven, but he himself said, the Lord said to my Lord, you sit on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that the same Jesus whom you have crucified have God made both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they was pricked into their heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. With many other words did he testify and exalt, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And they that gladly heard his word was baptized, and there was added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfast in prayer and fellowship and breaking of bread. Commitment kicked in to the things of God. When you are baptized in Jesus' name and you are filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you must now commit yourselves to the things of God. Paul says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without shall no man see the Lord. Baptism gets you on the road. Holiness gets you on the road. Repentance gets you on the road. But what's going to get you to the other end and hear God say, well done, is commitment. You have to be committed to the things of God. Let's stand. Are you committed to the things of God? You know, I preached this morning and I was talking about, if you got disoriented, to go back to the last known point and start afresh and start anew. The same holds true. If you like commitment, it's just go back to the last known point that you had a solid relationship and recommit yourself to God. The psalmist says, if you commit your ways to the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. There's one letter in the word commitment that without it, you don't have commitment. You know what the letter is? I. That means me. If I'm not in it, there's not going to be any commitment. So if you say, I'm going to commit, it requires you to do it. And that's what God is looking for. The Lord says, I sought for a man among them to stand in the gap and mend the hedge, and I didn't find any. Could God be saying, I can't get anybody to be committed? But you know what? I believe I'm standing upon a bunch of brothers and sisters tonight that says, hey, God, hey, look right down here in Apostolic Faith Church. Hey, God, see my hand? I'm going to commit. I'm going to commit to you. I'm going to commit to your church. I'm going to commit to the man and woman you put over me. I'm going to be committed to this thing, God, from this day forward. I'm going all the way. God, you can count upon me. How could Abraham be called the father of the faithful without commitment? How could David be called a man after God's own heart without commitment? How are we going to be able to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servants, if we're not committed? He says, because I'll just say, depart from me, I never knew you. Do you want to make it all the way? I do too. Praise God. So get that eye back into commitment and purpose that you're going all the way with Jesus. These altars are open if you want to recommit your life to the things of God. Make a new commitment and have a fresh start and allow God to lead you and carry you all the way to the finish line. He's here for you.
Remember.